Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day.
Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As you're probably expecting after the children's sermon, I thought today we'd focus on the story of Saul, later known as Paul, and his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Now, Paul is interesting as an apostle. Once again, apostle means sent ones, and interesting for several reasons. First and most glaringly, because he was a persecutor of Christians. He encountered Jesus for the first time as this up-and-coming Pharisee. And he was from the town of Tarsus, which is in what is today southern Turkey, along the Mediterranean. But as he would later say in his letters, Paul was a Jew among Jews. He was a standout for his righteousness, for his vindictiveness of the law, and for his, in the case of the Christians, resistance of what he perceived to be heresy. And we hopefully should take note that Paul's intentions, while doing what many of us now consider evil, his intentions were for the good. As a Jew amongst Jews, it was dangerous for people to be Christians. Christianity, this new Jesus movement, was considered to be a new religion. And under Roman law, religions in the lands that the Romans had conquered were allowed. Pluralism of religion and religious practice in the Roman Empire. But new religions were legal. So if the Jews tolerated it, they would be subject to Roman law and censure and all sorts of bad stuff that went with that. But more than that, as one who was convicted that he was a child of Abraham, of one born into the covenant with the one true God, a God they believed to be righteous and powerful, but also at times vindictive, and call the people to account and repent in harsh ways. Saul believed that by throwing Christians in prison and trying to wipe out the heresy as best he could, he was saving the Jewish people from God himself. He believed that God would not look kindly for these new heretics, who still, by the way, their first churches were in synagogues. You know, they met in the same places, the same communities where the people met to hear the Torah and follow the laws of Moses. So Saul believed that he was doing the Lord's will by throwing these new followers of Jesus into jail, and on certain occasions leading to their trial, their religious trials and stoning at the hands of their countrymen. I think there's a story, a lesson through the ages. What do we think we're doing when we think we are at our most righteous, when we get convicted to causes that we feel are most good? And we get so convicted that we will go to extremes to see these causes carried out. Will we one day be numbered amongst the martyrs for righteousness? Will we one day be called to repent, like Paul, earlier Saul on the road to Damascus? It's a question for the ages. As an apostle, though, Saul has an interesting place amongst the other apostles. Unlike Peter, unlike James and John, unlike several or the other 12, and many other disciples beyond that, Saul, later known as Paul, never knew Jesus, at least not face to face when Jesus was alive. He was not fed amongst the thousands. He did not sit at Jesus' feet in the upper room. He did not try and walk on water like Peter to go out and meet Jesus. He did none of that. In the early church and in the first movement of Christians, there were many questions about who had authority to interpret what all this meant, right? What was this new messianic movement going to look like? Where would they meet? How would they deal with division? What was the true theology that God wanted them to follow going forward as they interpreted what it was like to live as Jewish Christians following this new Messiah? And a marker of authority that was established right away, and we hear it in other parts of our gospel, is those who were closest to Jesus, those who knew him face to face, were given priority. That they were the ones who really spoke for the rest of the church and for Christians. But for Saul, as he would leave and go out and do his ministry, it was always called into question because he was not a follower of Jesus while Jesus was alive on this earth. So Saul, later Paul, again and again, would come back to this instance, his conversion moment here on the road to Damascus, where in fact he did see Jesus face to face. When this light flashed all around him and he heard a voice coming from the sky saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" That'd be quite a message to hear, right? You spent years building your career on persecuting this guy and everyone who followed him. What? You actually are alive? They weren't just making that up? Uh-oh. What? You have authority over the sky to show up in a blinding light in this moment and turn my life around? What does that mean? So he cries out, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord?" I believe his question was genuine. I believe he really had no clue. And then Jesus said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what to do there." He went out, blinded by this whole encounter, for 3 days without eating or drinking. I imagine after an experience like that, it would be worth a fast or two, a prayer, definitely a lot of contemplation about everything your life had led up to that point. And so the Lord sent to him Ananias, and Ananias laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Something like scales fell from his eyes, and he went out and became the apostle whom we know him to be still to this day. The powerful testimony, a powerful testimony that Saul needed. He needed that to turn his life around, to change him from being a persecutor of the church to a leader of it. To change him from being one who imprisoned souls to one who tried to set them free in the name of Jesus. To turn him and change him from being one who brought condemnation down upon people he disagreed with, to being a messenger of grace, of good news, of mercy. Not only upon his fellow countrymen, but upon Gentiles and Romans and Greeks and Egyptians and Persians. He was sent out from this one encounter with Christ on the road, with the authority of all sorts of disciples who had seen him in the flesh. I don't know if there's a bit of a hypothetical here, I suppose, a bit of speculation. But I personally imagine that Saul was, in this turnaround, this change of heart, arguably the best guy to be an apostle. Because he knew what it was to be against Jesus. He knew more than most what it was to stand against this guy as Messiah, as false, to be a skeptic, to be a doubter, to be one who truly believed wholeheartedly that this guy cannot be for real. These are lies that are made up. To have his life turned upside down and then to be 100% the other way. To be this Lord Jesus, who I stood against for so long, so severely, so harshly, is one I cannot deny, stood before me on that road and changed my life. That's a story of transformation that I think still leads people to the cross today. Arguably, these days more than ever, it seems that doubt is in vogue more and more, a trend, if you will. In recent weeks, it came out that polls show that in the United States now, long one of the most religious countries in the world, that people claiming no religious affiliation whatsoever has risen to the same percentages as the Catholic Church and any Protestant church body. We are this group, this growing denomination of non-believers, if you will, of doubters, is on the rise. There are many more Sauls out there, many more Pauls, if you will, folks who just frankly cannot see and imagine Jesus as real, cannot imagine Jesus as risen, and more than that, cannot imagine Jesus as having any care or concern about their well-being or their life. I look around me and I see our place in the world as a church, as Christians gathered, as Christians sent out, just like the apostles were. How many more experiences and opportunities are there for those Saul-like moments on the road to Damascus? For people to have scales fall from their eyes and see that our lives are not just accidents that happen in a random universe, but are authored by an omnipotent, omnibenevolent being who loves us more than we can ever imagine, who loved us before we were even born, and who has great things in store for us. Not the least of which is the forgiveness that is promised to us through the Savior who showed up on the road so long ago to make himself known to Saul the persecutor. The one who stood against Christ and almost wiped out the church before it began and turned his life around. So that forever after, all our lives may be transformed as well through the grace and love of Jesus Christ, our Lord. May the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you've enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.